Let us pray. We remember the words of our Lord, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." May we go with the peace of the gospel, the love of God, and the word which heals and restores all peoples. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we do praise thee now with mind, body, heart, and soul, for we know that thou art worthy of our highest adoration. At the same time, we realize our own unworthiness. We confess our sinfulness. We ask thy forgiveness. And we are thankful for thy promise that if our repentance is genuine, thy forgiveness is complete. We all have so much for which to be thankful. Family, friends, health, happiness. This school and the opportunities for growth it affords are but a small portion of thy blessings to us. We are thankful. Teach us to be more thankful. As we worship together, nourish our minds with thy truth. Open our hearts to receive and share thy love. Impress upon us thy purpose for our lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Be seated. On behalf of the Student Council, welcome to this morning's worship service. I want to take just a moment to introduce our Student Council to you. First, our officers are, and if these will please stand and remain standing as their names are called. David Upshaw, Vice President. Shirley Massey, Secretary. Kathy Worley, Treasurer. And I'm Jim Thomason, President. Our Senior Council representatives are Mike Barker, Ray Howell, and Eileen Stone. Midler Council representatives, Pat Burchett, Don Eliam, and Tom Neal. Our Senior Associate Representative is O.P. Hatfield. Junior representatives will be elected in October, as well as our THM, VMIN, and MRE representatives. Our committee chairpersons are Steve Spangler, Arts Committee, Jim Meadows, Communications Committee, Bill Walker, Ethics Committee, David Shirley, Off-Campus Ministry, Pam Stevens, Social Committee, Mark Buckner, Student Welfare Committee. And our Seminary Council representatives are Miller Murphy and Lloyd Pendergraft. The purpose of Student Council is both to represent and serve you. We can best do this as you share with us, these of us who are standing today, your ideas, your complaints, and suggestions. Let me encourage you to do that. And let me also encourage you to consider getting involved in one of the opportunities in student government that is available. Thank you, officers. Let me also ask each of you to note the reminders at the bottom of your bulletins. We still need several homes for the members of Genesis. Please consider this opportunity. The theme of our chapel services this month is the meaning of worship. To worship is to acknowledge the worthship of God. We worship together here in chapel, but worship extends beyond this corporate act and should permeate everything that we do. In a few moments, we want to share with you how every aspect of our campus life has the potential to be a proclamation of the supreme worship of God.
If you would please turn to the responsive reading 523. This reading comes from the 8th Psalms, and if you would stand, please, as we read responsibly. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. who has set thy glory above the heavens. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?
For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor.
Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet.
All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field.
The fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas.
O Lord, our Lord, our excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Amen.
Declaring God's worship through studying. Have you ever given your child something and he uses it again and again and again, squeezing every ounce of usage from the item? No doubt you felt like it was a wise investment. But have you ever given your child something and it was never used? You probably felt like money was wasted. Perhaps through this, we catch a glimpse of the divine perspective. Being created in the image of God, we are blessed with certain gifts, abilities, attributes. We have the ability to think, to reason, to search, to discover, to question, to decide, to apply, and we have the potentiality to become more conformed to that imago Dei. In God's service, there is no place for useless vessels. So surely, if God has called us into his service, surely if God has called us to this institution, then surely he has given to us an inherent potentiality. The very fact that we have been called presupposes a unique, powerful, dynamic, and God-given potential. And that's where studying comes in. Studying. It's the main business here at Southeastern, or at least it should be. Oh, it's not easy. It's rigorous and demanding. It requires discipline, patience, much prayer, a little common sense, and often a continuous awareness of the call of God. The work is hard, tedious, demanding, often frustrating. The hours are long and tiresome, and one often feels as if crushed by the weight of 1,000 syllabi. But through these endeavors, these studying endeavors, we begin to actualize that potential. We begin to become the people that God ordained us to be, equipped ministers, ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through honest, open-minded, disciplined study, we nurture and develop our God-given potentiality. I believe to allow that God-given potential to lie dormant, to close one's mind and not utilize every available tool and resource, to not activate every human effort to nurture and develop that potential, is the most flagrant of sins. Therefore, studying becomes an act of love, really, love. We love God with our minds. When, after much intense study, the dark clouds of ignorance seem to roll away and we catch a glimpse of divine truth, we declare the worship of God. We are becoming his people in quest for his truth, and that's worship.
Worthy art thou to be praised, Lord. Last spring, as a member of this seminary's mixed chorus, I sang those exultant words from Brahms' Requiem. The progression of a lyrical score combined with the triumphant music made those words so easy to sing. and to me. Worship is not so easy a part of our everyday lives, however. The messages of this chapel service all deal with the worship experience to be found in daily life here at Southeastern. I would like to share with you some thoughts on a pervasive part of seminary, indeed all Christian life, fellowship. Fellowship has many definitions, many facets. It spans the entire range of worship experiences from a solemn convocation to a one-to-one interaction on a bench under a magnolia tree. Fellowship is community, companionship, union, communion. In exploring its relationships from God to us individually, to others, let us recall the commandments which Christ deemed most important. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These are from Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 39. These commandments reveal three facets of fellowship which enable it to be a worshipful experience. First, communion with God is an integral part of fellowship. Special times for meditation, study, and prayer allow us to reach into the mind of God. We strive to push beyond our finite understandings of His nature. In these times, too, God deals with us and destroys the limitations which we would place upon Him. Open, honest companionship with the Almighty will ultimately result in our praise and recognition of His worth. We also must seek union with ourselves. Seminary provides so many different viewpoints and experiences. Our classes challenge us and push far beyond our back home Sunday school theologies. We meet and interact with other students whose views, backgrounds, and lifestyles differ widely from our own. The pressures of academic study, secular, and church work threaten to fragment us. We get trapped into the fast life, as songwriter John Fisher wrote. Quiet moments alone are needed to integrate new knowledge into ourselves. We need space to evaluate what we experience. We must have the chance to reach that point of accepting ourselves. Beyond that, we must come to appreciate the persons who we are and are becoming. Only then can we truly trust God's work in our lives. Only then can our worship be genuine. Thirdly, fellowship involves the community of believers. From God to each of us runs one line of fellowship. In the commonality of this central relationship, Christians have one basic bond which can lead to fellowship and worship. Through our acceptance of ourselves, our humanness finds it much easier to accept other people. As we love our God, as we love ourselves, we are correspondingly able to love one another. We can then support one another in our search, our growth, our ministries. This support is worship of God, for it acknowledges His work in and through each of us. Fellowship then has three main ingredients. We commune with God, we seek to discover and develop ourselves, we combine our love of God and acceptance of self into a love of the Christian and entire human community. The living out of the two greatest commandments boldly declare the worship of the eternal God. In closing, I would use Paul's words to the Philippians, "If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose."
I've been asked to consider with you this morning an almost inexpressibly important part of our life together here at Southeastern. That is corporate worship, our worship together, yours and mine. By your very presence here this morning, you and I may already be on somewhat the same wavelength. What I will say bears reference most to our life here, but can be seen in the perspective of the whole gathering of Christians as well. First, those of you who are pastors and other types of worship leaders know how difficult it is to plan a service for the, quote, results desired, that is, the occurring, the happening, or the experiencing of worship. This usually ends up being a problematic and rather artificial point of departure. And this is so, I believe, because worship is a natural response of man when he is confronted by God. It's nothing that we can manufacture or nothing that we can manipulate. When I worship with you, my worship is multiplied and it is deepened. Wherever you worship, be it here in chapel, be it on a prayer retreat with your church, perhaps with your husband or wife in the moment of the birth of a child, or in any of the lesser, visibly lesser moments of life, praise and thanksgiving to God is as automatic to man and as natural as when he walks out in the sunlight and blinks his eyes. Secondly, worship for me in this place with these people carries a special meaning. Let's face it, in a community where nearly everyone is going into the same basic professional market, there exists a good deal of hostility. And feelings of intimidation and insecurity are abundant here. I don't know what kinds of people or what kinds of situations happen to threaten you personally. Perhaps you're sitting there wondering how you're going to finance the next 3 or 4 years, or you're doubtful of your call of God, or perhaps the professor who has a difficult time concealing his brilliance bothers you, or the man or woman who, with a few months' practice, is a much better preacher than you ever will be, or the fellow who can memorize the entire Hebrew verb system over a bowl of Cheerios the morning of the final exam. I don't know who it is or what it is that threatens you or awakens the competitive fires in you, but I'd vow that something or someone here does. One of the beautiful things about worshiping here together is that some of these distinctions are broken down. They're relegated to second place. Or perhaps even by the grace of God, they'll disappear. We are here, first and foremost, children of God, facing the world with a common task and with a common gospel. And finally, it has amazed me to find, even in seminary, the reluctance with which people express their religious convictions and admit their spiritual needs. It is as if when I have nothing better to do, or only when I am at rock bottom, that I will set aside time to worship with my fellows. I have a fantasy that if someone here were to have the courage to express their desire and need for daily community worship, that they would be regarded by their colleagues as someone with unhealthy neurotic dependency needs. It has very little to do with conservative or liberal beliefs. For these feelings are prevalent in all camps on this campus. And the longer you're here, the longer and the greater you will realize this. Rather, I think it has something to do with the basic problem of human pride. Even we ministers do not want to admit our reliance on God. As we come together as a worshiping community, we are proclaiming not only our faith in God, but our need for Him to sustain us. Far and away from being a reflection of weakness or immaturity, however, our worship together keeps us vibrantly alive, both individually and corporately, acting as a setting where God may confront us with His wonder and a vehicle through which the direction of our life and work is continually being made evident. So come, let us praise Yahweh joyfully, acclaiming the rock of our safety. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving, acclaiming Him with music. For Yahweh is a great God, a greater King than all other gods. From depths of earth to mountaintop, everything comes under His rule. The sea belongs to Him, for He made it. So does the land. He shaped that too. Come in. Let us bow, prostrate ourselves, and kneel in front of Yahweh our Maker. For this is our God, and we are the people he pastors, the flock that he guides.
Declaring God's worship through involvement. Involvement in student government. As a student, faculty member, or staff person of this seminary, you are part of a community known as Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. We in this community have a task before us. And that task, according to our motto, is that God's people may be equipped. We are God's people. And we are in a process, a continuing process, of equipping ourselves for ministry. We also have the task of equipping those people that God has placed in our charge. My question to you is, what does it mean to be equipped? How are we to be equipped for ministry? What are we doing when we equip God's people in our charge? Christ equipped himself. The scriptures tell us that Christ grew in mind and in body and in favor with God and with man. Christ grew mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. We too need growth in these areas. The main thrust of this institution is for our mental and intellectual growth. And I don't know of any better place to get that. The physical, spiritual, and social aspects of our lives are left to the individuals. As responsible Christians, we need the discipline to develop these areas of our personhood. When we graduate from here in 1, 2, 3, or however many years it takes us to graduate, when we walk through those doors back there in the back, we're going to leave a piece of paper that will indicate that we have completed the requirements for graduation. We have taken the right courses, and we've made the proper grades, and we've graduated. And when we leave through those doors, we'll have that piece of paper, and it's possible that's all that we'll have. We could have so very much more. We could have experience. We could have the experience of a closer walk with our God. We could have the experience of self-discovery. We could have the experience of fellowship with other believers. And our thoughts back to our time here at Southeastern could be fond thoughts. If during our stay here together, any one of us denies us the right of knowing them, then we are cheated. If any person here denies or doesn't share themselves with the rest of their community, then the rest of the community suffers, and that individual suffers. I feel and I believe that the key to this is involvement. Your student council is not a governing body. It is a ministering body. It is designed to give the students an opportunity to minister to one another, and to minister to other people not a part of this community. The student council is concerned with every aspect of student life, from academics to social to spiritual. You know, there's a growing and widespread disease among our churches today. It's called apathy. And we see it everywhere we go. How much stronger our churches would be if more people were involved? And how we we labor and have burdens of how to motivate people to get involved in the church work and the activities there that are provided. But you know, I can understand why our churches are apathetic. Because you see, I look at their leaders. And if they don't have a model to go by, how are they going to know how they're to respond? We can be the example to our churches of how a community of believers are supposed to work and share together. We can show them and give them that model of working and sharing and worshiping as a fellowship of believers. The experience that we have right here at this place, Southeastern Seminary, could flow through us and out of us into our churches and into our communities, into our nation, even into our world. It's got to begin somewhere. Why not here? We on the Student Council are excited. We're excited of what's going on here. And we're proud to be here and to be a part of this. We're glad to be a part of what God is doing among us. We also feel that God has given each of us a responsibility here. We have a God-given responsibility to this community. He brought you here for some reason, for some purpose. He brought us together to share on our pilgrimage. As we progress throughout this year, your student council covets your prayers and your participation. Today we have an opportunity to participate in a very pressing need. Pat Burchett's going to tell us more of this opportunity. But I would like to say that your student council fully supports this action, and we encourage your support. Pat?
We at Southeastern do have an opportunity to participate in a denominational event. The consultation on women in church-related vocations will be held next week, September 20th through 22nd. The student body of Southeastern has chosen 6 representatives to represent Southeastern at this consultation. The consultation will involve discussion and study of many issues, just very general issues. Some of these are such things as how women are currently involved in church-related vocations, career options, opportunities for women. We want to indicate that this is something that we want both men and women to support, because we're going to represent this institution. This is an opportunity for you to send us, but to represent yourselves at this consultation. And this is an opportunity for all Christians, all Baptists especially, to extend and further develop our Christian ministry. At this time, we will have an offering, and we ask you to support us not only financially, but with your moral support and your prayers. Please stand for our benediction. Let us pray. Our eternal God and Father, maker of us all, we pray that the God of peace, who brought our Lord Jesus back from the dead to become the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood that sealed an eternal covenant, may make us ready to do his will in any kind of good action, and turn us all into whatever is acceptable to himself through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.